Our Bibles are open to Romans chapter 8 again. Romans is an extremely deep chapter, or I should say book, in the Word of God. And Romans 8 is a very deep chapter in the book of Romans. I've entitled this, My Father, My God. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Have to ask yourself, do I truly love God? I profess God. I profess a love for God. But do I really, truly love God? So how do I know? Well, the Word tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. In John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then in John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. If you love him, you obey him. If you love him, you keep his commandments. We're back in Romans chapter 8 again this morning, picking it up today with verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It is the Spirit of God that prompts our prayers, and it is the Spirit of God himself who prays through us, with us, and for us. Once you start keying on what we're talking about here, the Spirit himself helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for, as we should. But the Spirit himself, he knows what we should pray. Now, if your spirit's sensitive and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your prayers, guide you in your prayers, but you see, so much of the church, I'm convinced, just rushes into God's presence as well. Okay, let me throw out a prayer here. And throw out what they call a prayer, say amen, and go their merry way. Sometimes, folks, you got to get quiet. You got to get quiet before the Lord. You've got to wait on the Holy Spirit. You've got to let the Holy Spirit prompt you in what the Father wants to hear. When you're praying in accordance with the Father's will, and when you're praying what the Father is prompting you to pray, it's going to be answered. Amen. It's going to be answered in his timing, in his way. Romans 8:27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God the Father searches the hearts. Make no mistake about it, he searches the heart. He knows what's in the heart. He knows what's in the motives. He knows what's behind the motives. He knows what prompts the actions. He knows what prompts the reactions. God the Father searches the heart. He knows the mind of the Spirit. God the Father, make no mistake about it, knows the mind of the Spirit, and he understands the intercession of the Spirit. You have to understand that the Spirit of God is making intercession. Making intercession. And he's making intercession with groans and utterances that we can't even comprehend. But he's praying for you. He's praying through you. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. Now slow down and look at this verse carefully. For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. I asked a while ago, do you love God? Who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. So it's not a matter of understanding that you love God and that God loves you, but you have to understand that He has called you. You weren't even looking for Him. He came looking for you. Now, this is going to get kind of scratchy. You have to understand that we who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Understand this. God's behind it all. The good, the bad, the ugly. I borrowed that from a movie title. But there was a movie made, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And as I was working on this message, and I was examining these scriptures, and looking at the omnipotence of God, the sovereignty of God, just looking at what He is and who He is and all He is, you see, only God and God alone can take all the complexities of life into His purpose and then use them, if you will, in each of our lives individually. Did you catch that? Only God can weave all the complexities of our lives together and use them in our lives for His purpose. He is totally omnipotent. He is totally sovereign. And you have to understand this. You existed in the mind of God before creation. Amen. You existed in the mind of God before creation. I was listening to Isabel pray. And I was thinking back to when my wife and Isabel worked together in an insurance company. And Sharon kept witnessing to Isabel. Isabel was Catholic. And one day she said to me, I think Isabel is ready for salvation. Could you meet with us for lunch and present the plan of salvation? I said, sure. So we met for lunch. And we got through eating and I said, Isabel, I understand you may be interested in things spiritual. And I basically explained the plan of salvation very quietly. We're sitting in a restaurant. And I said to Isabel, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? I'll never forget her answer. She said, of course. Of course. No tears, no emotion, no none, just of course. I said, well, then let's pray. And I led her through a prayer to receive Christ as her Savior. And she's been walking with Him ever since. Very devoted to Him. Now, folks, I'm sharing that with you because you heard her pray this morning. That was a prayer. That was the kind of prayer that God honors. Amen. Kind of prayer that God responds to. And you're surrounded every day with people who just like Isabel. Isabel was in Catholicism. She was living up to all the standards of that expression of faith that she knew, trying her best to please God. And you've got a world full of people like that around you. You've got a world full of people trying to please God who don't know how to please God. Amen. And do not understand that the only way you please God is become one of His children. That is the ultimate way you really please God. You become one of His own. So when you stop and look at everything we're facing in life. Now folks, don't live in a world of denial. Everything. God is sovereign. God is sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent. And once you understand that God is in charge of everything. And everything that comes to you has to pass through His will.
Amen.
Don't ever forget that. You said, oh, wait, but I got a thing here, and I got a something over here. You are a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're purchased by the blood of Christ if you're born again, if you're a child of God. You are written into the will. You're in God's family. God loves you. He proved that at Calvary. The price He paid for you proves how much He loves you. But you have to understand, life is full of disappointments. Life is full of discouragements. Life is full of a complexity of mental, emotional, spiritual, physical problems. Life is full of them. And every day of the world, you're going to be facing them at one level or another. And that's why the Word of God says, endure hardness as a good soldier. It's warfare. And every day of the world, the enemy wants to weaken your witness, weaken your walk with the Lord. Want you to question the Word of God. Want you to question the goodness of God. Want you to question the will of God. And you have to understand, every day of the world, you're up against that. And once again, only God can take all of the complexities in our lives and weave them into His purpose and His plan for our lives. You see, He understands what you don't. There's a lot in life you don't understand. And there's a lot in life you're not going to understand until you get to glory. And you're going to come through seasons and situations and circumstances. You're going to say, I don't understand this. And He doesn't say a word. Either you trust Him or you don't. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah, but Bob, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but He does. He does. He has all authority. Once you understand the absolute totality of God, which none of us can really understand, He has the whole world in His hand, the song says. And that's true. He's got the whole world in His hands. The thing that bothers me so much sometimes is that the church has yet to understand that He's turned all of His work over to the church. Hear me. God has turned all of His work over to the church until the church fails in doing what she's supposed to do. And we're in the process of doing that. Once that happens, He has to take over again. And you don't want to see that. You don't want to see that. But you have to understand, we are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ on earth today. God has turned all of His work over to the church. And either we get it done or we don't get it done. He knows everything that's ever touched your life. From the day you came out of the womb, even before you came out of the womb, He knows what touched your life. And yes, you can feel the emotions of your mother when you're in the womb. He knows what touched you in the womb. He understands what's touched you since you come out of the womb. He understands why we respond the way we respond. Have you ever questioned why you respond the way you respond? Have you ever questioned why you react the way you react to certain stimuli? Have you ever just sat down and said, why do I respond like that? Why did I respond like that? Why did I react like that? Why do I react like that? There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. I think, and I may be totally wrong here, I don't know, but I think that the average, quote, believer really doesn't spend that much time in quiet intimacy with God. I'm afraid that too many of us in the body of Christ tell Him good morning, tell Him to bless us throughout the day, and go about our business. But we need to slow down, be quiet, be still, get into the Word, know what the Word is teaching, but spend time talking to Him. Being quiet before Him. Let Him speak to you. Don't do all the talking. The Spirit speaks to the Spirit. He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. But in order for him to do that, we've got to be quiet once in a while in his presence. We come to verse 29. For God knew his people in advance. You see, you were not a surprise to God. God has never been caught off guard. God has never been caught by surprise. God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. That, my friend, is why God saved you. He wants you to become like Christ. He wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. He knew his people in advance. He chose us to become like his son, that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God in his foreknowledge, knew when you were going to come to Christ, where you were going to be, what it was going to take to get you there. He knew what message you were going to hear. He knew what circumstances, what situations would be going on in your life that would incline you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. The omniscience of God and the omnipotence of God. I feel that so much of the church really never really comprehends that. And we must comprehend that. But you existed in the foreknowledge of God from eternity past. Amen. From eternity past. You've heard me say how many times, God's never learned anything new. Now, some people don't like the word predestined. Okay, we'll make it predetermined. God predetermined that because, you see, God knew who was going to want to be born again. God knew who would be willing to be born again. And so God declared and decreed that those who were willing to be born again were going to be born again. None of it caught him by surprise. But he determined this. Once we are born again, he is determined to conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. He's going to get us like Jesus one way or the other. And sometimes that requires things we don't like, things we don't appreciate. Listen, it's not a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. It's warfare. And Satan is going to attack you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and yes, physically. He's going to attack you in every area of your existence. And the purpose of that attack is to get you to lose some confidence and some hope for in Jesus Christ. He does not want you walking in total submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he can do anything, he will do anything that he can to keep you from walking in total submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day of the world. Every day of the world, you got to get up and say, Lord, I take my rightful place of death to self. I choose to die to self. Get the big I off the throne of my life and enthrone you on the throne of my life. And whatever you permit into my life, I want to give you thanks for. What does the Word of God say? In everything, give thanks. That does not mean that everything is enjoyable. That does not mean that everything is agreeable. It just means what it says, give thanks. You understand this. God is in the process of conforming you and has been in the process of conforming you to the likeness of Jesus Christ ever since you came to Christ. And he knew before you came to Christ what things you needed in your life to help get you to the place that you'd be willing to receive Christ so that you could be conformed to Christ. Right. Did you follow that? His total sovereignty. His total sovereignty. There has never been a time in all of time and eternity when I did not exist in the mind of God. Amen. And the same is true of you. You must understand that. You must embrace that. So, his desire is to conform us, to make us Christ-like. Why should I resist that? Should I not want to become Christ-like? And you understand this. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. Only God, in his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, only God can conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. Our role is to submit and surrender to him so he can conform us. And if we resist the conforming, he can turn up the heat. And then we'll reach a place where we're willing. It's not a cakewalk. I keep telling the radio congregation it is not a cakewalk. It's warfare. Day after day after day. Satan, you don't get out of bed in the morning until Satan's trying to seed your mind. Amen. He wants you in one way or the another to be adverse to God. He does not want you to understand who you are, receive who you are, receive the Word of God, believe the Word of God, obey the Word of God, because he knows once you start doing that, you're going to walk in power and victory, and you're not going to any longer be subjected to him. He knows that. That's why the Word of God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. See, the church thinks of that as, well, that's for kids. That's for kids in Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher needs to teach them about the whole armor of God. The girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, pull the helmet of salvation. No, take up the sword of the Spirit. No, that's reality. Amen. That's reality today. For me, for you. This is not a day goes by. I don't put on the whole armor of God every single morning. Amen. And I'm normally not out of bed 10 minutes. Boy, I've got it on. Because usually when I'm closing out my early morning prayer, I'm putting that on as the last part of my early morning prayer. I'm putting on the whole armor of God every day of the world, because I know when I walk out of that bedroom, I am walking in, and I walk out of my house, I'm walking into a sin-cursed world. A sin-darkened, sin-cursed world that is full of problems out of hell that are going to attack me. What's true of me is true of you. Yes. True of you. We come to verse 30. For God knew his people in advance. God's never learned anything new. You're getting saved and not catching by surprise. God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. That's the whole role. The whole concept is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to become Christ-like in our speech, our actions, our attitudes, our reactions, everything in life. We're to become Christ-like. God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That is the whole process, folks. You get born again, and the moment you're born again now becomes the process of sanctification, of conforming us to the image of Christ, so that our responses and our reactions in life will be Christ-like. Each of us are to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. We are to increasingly, day by day, become more Christ-like, which means in order for us to become more Christ-like, more of us has to die. Amen. The big I has to die. Verse 30. And having chosen them, he called. He did the choosing. He did the calling. Chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory, meaning that glorified. Now, that is still future. We will be glorified when we get to glory. You can live part of that down here, but you won't be really glorified until you get to glory. But watch this again. He chose you. I wish I could break this down as simply as it can be broken down, but it's hard to do. It really is. This is one of the strongest books in all the Bible. God, in his sovereignty, knew who would and who wouldn't before the foundation of the world. I don't know any other way to explain this. Before the foundation of the world, God knew out of all the multitudes of humanity who would and who would not be willing to be conformed to his image by receiving Christ Jesus. Jesus, free gift of salvation. But once you cross that line into this free gift and you receive Christ as your Savior, and for weeks now I've been trying to convince you and help you understand, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of spiritual pride in the body of Christ. God hates it. God hates spiritual pride. We tend to think, well, you know, I'm not so bad after all. No, you're not so good after all either. But once you understand that, here again, I'm going to bring it out again. You came into the body of Christ as an infant. You didn't know beans from Shinola about scriptures. You didn't know, you didn't have the foggiest idea what discipleship was like. You did not have the foggiest idea of what spiritual growth was like and the stages you had to come through. And you, most of the people in the church, I'm convinced, think, well, I got saved, I'm good to go. No, no. What you are good to go is, you're good to go into the process of becoming more Christ-like, which is a lifetime process. Amen. It's a lifetime process. God hates spiritual pride. Amen. God hates it. Why should we? Who are we to have spiritual pride? Once again here. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. You didn't call him. He called you. He called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. Whew! To have right standing with God. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, the Word of God says, many are called, but few are chosen. Stop and think about that. You are part of a select group. Many are called. Salvation is open to the whole world. Salvation is open to every individual ever born. Salvation is the free gift of God to anyone and everyone who will receive it. But you have to understand this. Before the foundation of the world, he knew who would and who would not receive it. But he predetermined that those who did receive it would be brought through a process of discipleship in which they would be conformed to the image of Christ himself. He was going to make you Christ-like, going to make you God-like. He was going to conform you to his image. Once you understand that, to become like his son. That's the goal here. And he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Romans 8:30. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them once again, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them in glory. Glorified. Now Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God's for us, who can be against us? Stop and think about what we're saying. Who can stand against you successfully? You're going to be opposed. Sometimes you're going to be opposed by family members. Sometimes you're going to be opposed in the office. Sometimes you're going to be opposed in the neighborhood. But understand this. What should we say about these wonderful things? If God is for us, who can be against us? By that we mean, who can successfully oppose us? They can't. They can't. You know the biggest enemy you have, outside of Satan himself? The big I. Biggest enemy you've got, outside of Satan himself, is the big I. I, me, I, mine. Because we're so reluctant to face truth about ourselves. I have this weakness. I have this proclivity. I'm this, I'm that. We have difficulty, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to get to the place that you can go before God and you can confess and talk to him about every attribute of your life, every characteristic of your life that you know is not Christ-like. And admit to him, I need help. I want to be conformed. I want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. I want to become increasingly more Christ-like with every passing day. Be honest with him. But be willing to acknowledge those characteristics and those attributes in your life that are not Christ-like. Acknowledge them. Until you acknowledge them, you won't pray them. You won't discuss them with him. He wants you to. Isaiah 54:17. Word of God says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That tells you it's going to be formed. It's already been formed, and it's already been executed. The weaponry system, and it differs, listen folks, it differs from every one of us. For some of us, Satan hits us with this. Another hits us with this. Some of us, there's commonality in what we are affected by. There's commonality in the things he uses against us. But then each of us have specifics. You came into the world, out of the womb, you came in with the sins of the fathers in the bloodline. And you suffered wounds and bruises as you were coming through the formative years. All that's in the mix. It's reality. I teach this, and I've had people come to me trying to grasp this and understand this because they didn't understand why they had this problem and that problem and that problem. And it's real simple. Let's look back through your bloodline. I had a pastor and his wife come to me. They were concerned about their son. I've told you this before. He was an alcoholic. And they went into it 5 minutes. And I said to them, I said, whose bloodline is alcoholic in? And they said, both of us. It was in this preacher. It was in his bloodline. It was in his wife's bloodline. But it missed the two. Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. Alcoholism is one thing. But now, think of all the things that are in a bloodline that the generations in that bloodline are suffering with. And you can take a look at your own bloodline, if you know enough about it. And you can see some of the things that are working in that bloodline that are unchristlike. And they just accept it as normal because that's the way we are. No, no, no. You're to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. This could go a lot deeper. And in some of our sessions, we take it a lot deeper. But the thing I want you to understand right now, watch this. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You don't have any righteousness of your own. It's all imputed. The righteousness that you have is imputed righteousness to you because of your identification with and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your righteousness. That is the source of your righteousness. Outside of that, you have no righteousness. And there's not a system or religion in the world that can make you righteous in the presence of God. No, it's only in and through Christ Jesus. In Romans 8:32, since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he give us everything else? What would he withhold from you? Look what he's already given you. He gave his own son. He gave God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Son of God, yes. God in the flesh, yes. And he took upon himself my sins so that I could be made righteousness in him. The same thing for you. He took our sins upon himself, put those sins to death in himself, all the sins that you've confessed, all the sins that you've admitted, and all the sins that you've committed. Those sins were put to death in Christ Jesus. Satan doesn't want you to understand that. He wants you to go through life day by day by day, weighed down with a sense of the sin that's in your life. All you got to do is recognize it and confess it. Recognize it and confess it. Be through with it. In Psalms 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now, catch this now. This is Psalm 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. Do you realize everything that God owns is at your disposal? You have to appropriate it by faith. Now, that's why you want to keep your sin list short. See, I want my sin list to be so short that when I go into the presence of God, I can go in making intercessory. I can go in requesting this, requesting that, interceding this, interceding that. You want to pray big things. and you want to be heard. I'm going to close this down because you can't stand much more of this than I can either. Hear me carefully. So many times we cop attitudes that block our prayer life. So many times we cop a habit, we embrace a habit that blocks our prayer life. What we need is prayer power. And the way you get prayer power is you bring your life into conformity under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in conformity with the Word of God. Keep the sin list short. Bertha Smith burnt that into us. Keep the sin list short. Meaning this, constantly be aware of that in your life which is sin, that quenches the Spirit of God, that grieves the Spirit of God, and the minute you recognize you have done it, take a split second right then and confess it as sin. That reaction was sin. That response was sin. One of my biggest problems, I could be judgmental in a heartbeat. I can be judgmental in a heartbeat. I could be standing at the checkout counter in Publix and have a person of some type come into my view, and I can in a heartbeat. Now, I know you're too holy for this, and I'm so glad you're so holy. I'm not there yet. But sometimes I just look at an individual and then I have to confess it. Yes, I do. I do. I say, Lord, the thought wasn't Christ-like. That judgmental decision was not Christ-like. One thing that Bertha Smith burned into me, and those of us in that prayer retreat, keep the sin list short. The moment you recognize you have grieved the Spirit of God, the moment you recognize you have quenched the Spirit of God, the moment you realize I have just disobeyed the Word of God, don't wait till tonight to get on your knees beside the bed. No, now. Confess it now. Right here, right now. Because there's a very good chance you won't remember it tonight. Satan will try to help you forget it. So if I'm... See, I could be walking here. I could be Spirit-filled right here. And right here, I can lose my Spirit-filling by harboring an unclean thought, judgmentalism, criticism, whatever it may be. I can lose the fullness of the Spirit right here. But I can recognize I have just lost the fullness of the Spirit. Folks, this is real life. Now, I teach this because I try to live it. I can lose it here. I can recognize I've lost it. I can confess it as sin, and I can regain it here. Amen. It happens in a heartbeat. Just that quick. I don't have to run off and get in a closet somewhere and shut the door and get on my knees and cry and moan and groan. No. Lord, that thought was unchristlike. That attitude was unchristlike. That response was unchristlike. That reaction was unchristlike. This requires sensitivity to the Spirit. And so you want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that the moment you do anything, say anything, embrace anything that quenches or grieves Him, you want to know it right then, right there, so you can confess it right now and get the victory over it. And then walk on in power and victory. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. What's your greatest need? I'm sneaking up on your blind side. This is the last verse. So I'm sneaking up on your blind side. What's your greatest need? Somebody said, well, I got this bill due, and I got that bill due. I got this coming, I got that coming. No, that's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is Christ-likeness. Your greatest need is Christ-likeness. My God shall supply all of your need. We think of need in terms of temporal, material things. Don't start there. This is what I need in the spirit realm. This is my greatest need, to be Christ-like, to be conformed to the image of Christ. I need to be free of this attitude. I need to be free of this response. I need to be free of this reaction. And take it to Him and tell Him about it. Confess it as sin. Tell Him, I need this. If I'm going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, if I'm going to have access to your throne initially, immediately, whenever I need it, I need to get this stuff taken care of. He's going to meet my physical needs. He already told me so. He's already promised to meet all my needs. So my needs are going to be met. But I have needs that go beyond the physical. They move into the spirit realm. And I've got to recognize those, and I've got to be willing to discuss those with him. So, once again, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you this. What more can he do than what he's already done? What more can he do? I've been to this a while. And let me tell you one of the greatest things that I bumped across in church. Number one, skepticism. Skepticism. What you're really saying when you're a skeptic is, can I believe this word? Can I really believe the word of God? Can I really base my life on the word of God? Can I base all my decisions on the word of God? Can I, as an act of my will, truly submit and surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life? Can I really refrain from quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit? These are things that each of us have to deal with these issues every day. Keep my attitude right. Keep my thought life right. Keep my reaction and response. I can get judgmental in a heartbeat. Now, I know that you're too spiritual for that. But I'm not. And I have to be sensitive to that. And the minute I realize I've done it, I've got to take it to the throne. Father God, Lord, we've only scratched the surface this morning. We have only scratched the surface. And I pray, Father, that somehow you will take this expression of scratching the surface and use it in the hearts of your people. Father, I want to see them walk in victory. Amen. Walk in victory and power and love and joy and peace, Father God. In spite of this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, and the fact that we're in this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, and that we have to be light in the midst of a lot of darkness, and we're up against satanic strategies every day of the world, Father, help us day by day by day to yield ourselves to you so fully, so completely, so thoroughly, and as we put on the whole armor of God, go out all day long, and Father God, face the enemy, beat the enemy, withstand the enemy, and walk in love, power, joy, peace, and victory. This I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Amen. So what I pray for myself may as well pray for you. Anything I didn't make clear this morning, this is so rudimentary, this is so basic what I've taught this morning. But it's essential. It is absolutely essential. When I was in the military, they didn't start us off at this level. They started us off down here at this level. And we were trained at this level. And once we got that level down, we could come to this level, and then to this level, and then to that level. And we had to come up through the various levels. You are the army of God. You are the army of God on earth today. And the minute you think you've arrived, you haven't. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still working at it too. Is there anything we need to make clear that we didn't make clear this morning?
Well, hearts, that was our message this past Sunday. Thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And until we have a chance to get together and do this again, be blessed.